welcome to Developing for Surface Dial and Surface Studio. And thank you for coming all the way to this room, which I know is like a long way from everywhere else in the conference center. So well done, you made it here. You probably got your steps in for the day just getting from the expo hall to this room. We certainly will on the way back. So the Surface Dial, the Surface Studio, two new hardware products that Microsoft announced and launched in the US market last year. And what I want to talk about today is why should we as developers, and how many people here are developers in the room? Okay, bunch of you. How many people would consider themselves a designer or a creative type, drawer type person? Yeah, it's a great tool for that too. But talk about the device, the two devices really, the studio is one device and the dial is another device, and they are separate devices and they don't have to come together. Together they make things that are pretty cool and in some ways better, but you can use a dial with your laptop. It's a Bluetooth device, an external device. I want to talk a little bit about that and talk about studio as well, and then how you bring them together to create some pretty amazing experiences. And then show you what you need to do as a developer to build code to plug some of this together. So welcome to the future. It's a future that we've seen before, but it's another new future. And I think it's pretty important at this point in time to show this video. One of the best videos I think Microsoft has ever made in terms of product marketing. It makes me very emotional. It's like porn for engineers. It's incredible. Like, this is an incredible product, and it's taken a lot of effort from people within the product team at Microsoft, the Surface product team, to make this product come into fruition. And what's interesting, and anyone that follows the theme of the kind of things Neil talks about, will know that I repeatedly say nothing is new. And this is a project Bill Buxton worked in the early 90s called ActiveDesk. And it's a screen that you can lean on and write on. So nothing is really new, but what happens is over time we make it better, we commercialize it, we productize it, we invent capabilities, we discover the ways of doing things. This used projectors. And so the desk was a big, chunky thing. now we have this ability to create this really streamlined, beautiful screen that's incredible high resolution. And it's very difficult to really show that to you sometimes when I start getting into doing demos and showing you things, you'll see. But of course, this screen isn't actually a high enough resolution to show the resolution that I'm going to show on the studio. And so we've done some other things, like you can see I've got a camera up here, which hopefully will help you get an idea of the interactions as well. But it is important to remember that this is based off decades and decades of prior work by people who have spent a lot of energy thinking about what makes a great interface for leaning on, for engaging in, for close-quarter engagement at high resolution, using a stylus, using your hands, using touch. And this is where we're at right now, the culmination of all of that activity. And that's an exciting place to be. But what does it actually mean? What have we ended up with? We've ended up with two things. We've ended up with a dial, which is one of these little circular cylindrical items, which some people say, oh, it's a bit like a mouse. It is a bit like a mouse, but it's not a mouse. And you can push down on the dial. It has a button, and you can rotate it, and so it has a rotation to it. And that does things. It's up to your computer program what it does. It's up to your software what it does, but it does things. And then we have a studio, and the studio is this great big monstrous screen. If I switch to the right setting, here we go, that I have in front of me here that I can interact with, and it's a big multi-touch screen that supports pen input as well. And they are two separate products. That you don't buy them together. You can buy a studio without a dial. You can buy a dial certainly without a studio, and you can plug your dial into, it's a Bluetooth device, you can plug it into your laptop. And while all the focus is on these two new amazing toys, there is a third component that I think we should keep in mind the whole time, and that's the pen. The stylus is one of the things that activates both the studio and the dial to be even more amazing. When you're holding a stylus in your dominant hand and you're holding a dial in your non-dominant hand, the experience is quite amazing. You're enabled to start taking activities with your non-dominant hand that previously may have been, if you had trained yourself, maybe you were using a mouse, but most people use the mouse with their dominant hand, and then it feels clunky using it with your non-dominant hand. And so it's not as accurate. And the dial gives us this ability to start doing things with our non-dominant hand that interact with the software while we're interacting with our dominant hand. And that might be touch, but a stylus really switches that on to a different level. And of course, the studio screen is an active screen, which means it can use an active stylus, the same as a Surface Pro or a Surface Book. So we have real nice digital ink flowing out of our pen onto the screen, and that feels very rich as well. So this capability to bring these things together is really where it gets important in my mind, is really where these things start to add value on top of each other that's above and beyond what we would think about if we had them all as separate components. And that's an important thing to consider. Yes, you can have them as separate components. You can build an app that works really nicely on dial or using dial as an external device to a Surface Book or any tablet that supports Bluetooth, or any, it doesn't even have to be a tablet, any computer, it could be a desktop that supports Bluetooth, and you can make dial do some cool things there. And we'll have a look at that in a minute. But then you add it to the studio and you add a pen and it all starts to come together and to tell quite a beautiful story. So, of course, the reason that you're all really here is just to see demos, right? So let's do demos. There's a few things that are probably worth showing you. So ink with dial, and this doesn't necessarily have to be on a studio, and I'm using a studio now, but if I add an ink canvas, this is a XAML application, I add an ink canvas, I can draw on it. Right? That's kind of, you get that for free, that's kind of cool. I add an ink toolbar, and I can start determining what I want, you know, what color I want to draw in, etc., what my pen style is, what my pen thickness I want to choose, which is, you know, it's great. And it knows the difference between my finger and a pen. But then if I push down on the dial, I get a menu that comes up on the screen. So the dial right now, and you saw the demo, you can put the dial on the screen, sure, but if this wasn't a studio and I was using it on another device, the dial still has an activity here. And here the activity, you can see I can go around and I can select the pen and I can push down and start selecting different colors with my non-dominant hand while my dominant hand is ready to continue drawing. And then I can go and say, you know what, I want to change the thickness of this, and I can actually start messing with the thickness while I'm drawing with my dominant hand. I can change the thickness with my non-dominant hand, and I can start using this as a dual input device, or you know, two devices that I'm using as input, both the stylus and the dial. And that's kind of cool and kind of nice. And actually, to do that, and I'll show you the code. It's very simple code. Is very simple. So for free, if you use Ink Canvas and Ink Toolbar, you get this feature for free. And then if I do actually put down on the screen, you start to see the menu appears where I put the dial down, and I can do things with that. The ruler is interesting. Of course, you get the ruler as part of the Ink Toolbar for free as well, and you can use that to draw. But then if I use the dial becomes a positioning tool for the ruler. So I can use the dial to get a better positioning for the ruler, and then use that to underline something or line through something, whatever. But you can see then that we're starting to use the dial in a different way while it's on screen. I can leave it off screen and still use it to move it around, and I can move this here and use it to rotate, and then draw down it. But it adds that extra value. So you start to see how this comes together to bring different levels of value to the equation as we're adding first ink and then the dial interaction at the same time, and then putting the dial onto the screen changes it, you know, ups the level goes up again. So if you're building an application using dial, one things you can do, and again it doesn't have to be on screen, is you can add your own items. So here I have the standard volume, and Microsoft recommends you don't mess around with the standard ones, because people who use dial will start to explore this and start to go, oh yeah, I know, I'm always going to be able to control the volume from my dial. You can do scrolling, but I've added my own item here, select image. So I select the image, and as I rotate, I can actually rotate through these selection of images. And one of the nice things is that the dial has some haptic feedback. So as I'm rotating, I get a little click every time in my fingers. I can feel it every time I select the next image. So I know that I'm getting this feedback into my fingers that I'm selecting it, and it's selected the next one, the next one, the next one. And you kind of, if you hopefully will have time afterwards, for you can come and play with it and get a feel for that. And then the other thing you can do is you can customize the dial. So here I've added another menu item, but you can customize it so that you can replace the entire menu and do your own thing on the screen. So here I've got like a color picker, and as I scroll through the colors, it's changing the background. Okay, probably not something you really want to do in a real app, but as a demo, it's quite effective. And you can see I've replaced the entire menu, and wherever I put the dial, that's where the menu appears. And this is another aspect of the application programming, or the API SDK that you get, that you can start thinking about. And you know where the dial is being placed on the screen. So pretty cool stuff, huh? Let's build it. I'm going to basically build a simple version of all of those demos now encode using, yes, I feel a little bit brave at this point, Visual Studio 2017. So I've just created a simple UWP application. And in fact, what we can do at this point is, let's go to this screen, and we can actually see code, hopefully. Is that the right one? Maybe not. Maybe this one. There we go. Now, I've been, I guess, fortunate, lucky. I feel privileged in many ways to be playing around with this device for a while now, and I can tell you that as a programmer, I'm absolutely in love with it. Like, what an amazing screen. I don't even need to do that. What an amazing screen to be working with. Like, the amount of code you get up here and the way you can lay things out and the resolution of the screen is just insane. But let's start by adding that ink canvas. We'll just call it ink canvas. Doesn't really matter. And actually, I'm going to do something here, which is just a little tip for you. I'm going to set is hit test visible to false. And you might go, why would you do that? Like, don't you want to touch it? Well, actually, no. What I want is the stylus to interact with it, but my fingers to interact with something else, maybe. And so is hit test visible means that my fingers are not reacting to it, but the stylus still is interacting with it. And that would let me draw within this space. I'm just going to add an ink toolbar, and you set up the target ink canvas to bind to the ink canvas that we've got here in the screen. And I guess we need to place it somewhere. So where should we place it? Put it centered horizontally and put it at the top of the screen. And build that. Run it. Back to that screen so you can see it from above and you can see me drawing on it, and I've got the ink toolbar, just the default ink toolbar, and you can see as I put my hand down on the dial, I have the ink tools available to me to start selecting thickness, for example, and I'm getting that functionality essentially for free. I haven't built anything dial specific here, I just added the ink canvas and ink toolbar, and I get, as I place it down on the app, a bunch of the features just given to me because it says, hey, well, you're using ink and dial is really well suited for supporting an ink interface. So why not enable that? Because I've got it really as a very thin pen. And you can see there I'm kind of moving between using touch, using my hands, using the dial, and that's what starts happening is you start interacting with this in a way that it feels very natural after a few goes of doing it, that you're just kind of swapping between using fingers, moving things around, placing things on the screen, drawing on the screen, and grabbing objects to manipulate things. In a very short time frame, we built a very simple application that enabled us to pull the features of ink and dial straight into an application, into a canvas space that we'd want to work on. So where are we up to? We're back on that screen. Good-o. What I want to do now is start showing you how to add your own menu items into the dial menu, because that's kind of an important piece of the puzzle. So at this point, I'll just change that because we're going to mess around with this in a minute. I'm going to make the dial change the background color of this grid. as we rotate it. So we go to the code, and in here, one thing I'll do is I will create what's called a radial controller. And the radial controller is your dial menu, and it's part of Windows now. It's just Windows UI input, so it's part of the Windows SDK. So we've got my controller. And I'm going to set up just a Boolean flag to say what mode I'm in. Am I in color mode, color mode? Should we do it in Australian? Yeah, why not? And so now we can use that menu item to flip into color mode or out of color mode. This is the other thing I found myself doing more and more, you're using this big screen and coding on it, is I'm actually touching my code, which feels maybe a little weird to start with, but it's kind of cool. So now I've got all this capability to start doing some interesting things with the radial controller, and the radial controller has a set of configurations built into it. So if I grab that config out of there, you can get the default configuration, radial controller, no, that's not what I want, configuration, and get the default, or get for the current view the configuration that your radial controller has, and that gives you what menus are currently connected to, what menu items are currently connected to the dial menu on this canvas, on this view. And then what you can do is you can change that. So you can say config dot set default menu items, or reset to default menu items. Reset would take you back to kind of what Windows would give you for free. We're going to set the default menu items into a new array of the radial controller types, and then we can determine what kind of menu items we want to put in here. So we're going to do radial controller and its system menu items, system menu item kind, and if you look in that enum, you can see things that we might want to add or not add to the menu. So within our application, we can start determining which of these we want to show within our app and which we don't. So we might want to enable people to move between music tracks. They're listening to music in the background while they're using your app. It's nothing to do with your app, but Windows is taking command of that, and the dial gives them the ability to do that without leaving your app. And that's kind of another thing to think about, is can you give people the ability to interact with the operating system while staying within your app, and that could be useful too, and will enable scroll. I've no idea why, but hey, why not? And so you can now say, okay, by default, I want to have this in my radial menu. And then we need to get the actual controller. This is just the configuration. So actually, we just want to get the one for this view. So create for current view. And one thing to watch out for here, actually, is you see I've declared this outside of the constructor. You may want to do it on Navigator 2 or something, but I've declared it outside. If you don't, you'll end up, if you declare it in here, then of course you create it during the constructor, and then it goes into be garbage collected afterwards. So all the work you do is a waste of time. So don't do that. Random. I'm just going to load a menu, an icon to put into the menu. So random access stream reference. The icon. And what icon shall we use? We'll use one of the ones that's just kind of already embedded into our application, in our assets. Store logo, that'll do. And we'll load that in to be used as the icon to put into the menu. And then from there, we just want to add it into the menu item or create a menu item for it. So we go radial controller menu item, which is what we want. And we're going to create a new one of those from the icon. So and what should we put there? I don't know, demo. As the text for it, and then the icon stream. So we've created a new item. We now need to obviously add that to the menu item. So we go back to my controller, and in here you can start seeing that there's a bunch of things you can do, and we're going to do some of them in a minute. We're going to start tracking the activities. But we'll just take the items here and add that new menu item that we created. So now we've got our menu starting to be built out with these items in. We want to do something once that menu is activated. So what I'm going to do is once the menu is activated, I'm going to track the rotation and write some code to do something while it rotates, and I think what we'll do is we'll just change the background color. The other thing you can do is you probably want to know, which is kind of useful, is when your item has been selected, and we call that invoked. So when the menu item has been selected or invoked, clicked, you might think of it as, then you want to do something at that point. So you want to write some code there. And in fact, all we want to do there is go into color mode. So we say color mode equals true. And then when color mode equals true, we can do something as the rotation changes. So if color mode, then we could start taking out some activity here. And I'll just create a solid color brush. And actually what we could do is we could get it out of the main grid. So we could use the brush that's already in the main grid. If it's null, that means we probably have a problem. But hey, what we'll do is we'll just create a new one. Color doesn't really matter, don't really care what color it is, and then we will create a new color object that grabs the color out of the brush, and then we can manipulate that in some way. We'll just change the red component of it for now, so that it appears to be doing something different. And what we're going to do here is we're going to either increase it or decrease it based on how much the dial has been rotated. So in the arguments that are passed to us here, we're getting some information about the amount of rotation. So we can have a look here and say rotation delta in degrees. Now this would either add or subtract from the byte, and actually that should be a plus equals. Do that as a plus equals. It will either add or subtract, and because it's a byte, of course, once you get to 255, it'll go back to zero. Once you get to zero and going down, it'll go back up to 255. Because we're all programmers, we know that shit, right? So that's cool. And then I guess all I need to do is set that brush color to equal that color again, and we should be in business. I guess I should probably then set it to the background. So, we built some code to create a menu item. We run this. We'll switch back to the screen. Push down on the dial. There's my new menu item. Select that. Rotate. And it's changing the background color. And of course, it works here as well, as you'd expect. You don't have to do any extra coding to get the difference between the dial working on the screen with the menu and working off the screen. You can see that just kind of comes for free, which is nice. One of the other things I guess I should point out is I'm a southpaw, I'm left-handed, and I've set this device up to work for me left-handed, is my dominant hand. And so the menu, as I put my hand down on the dial, comes out at a place that makes sense to me. And have I crashed it? Yes, probably. There we go. So it comes out at a place that makes... If you're right-handed, you would be doing this, and you know, you wouldn't see the menu. So instead, when you set it to right-handed, the menu comes out on the right-hand side, or so your hand isn't in the way. And that's, again, not anything you have to do. You just use the Windows settings to do that. Well, dial does, or the radio controller does that for you. You don't have to do that. But if you do end up building your own menu or your own component, then you need to think about that, right? Because you can remember the final demo that I did and what we're going to build next, where we're going to create our on-screen, our own on-screen menu. We have to think about how should the menu position itself for left-handed and right-handed. And you can grab that out of Windows. You can get that information out of Windows. So let's go and build that final demo where we're going to do something a little bit different here. We're going to create our custom menu and replace the default menu for an application. Now, the majority of cases, you probably don't want to do this, and the kind of guidance from Microsoft is don't do it. But there are some scenarios, and we've already seen some in the demos, even in the video you saw a scenario, where it's actually pretty useful to be able to do that. It's actually pretty useful to be able to go, there are some things that I want to do that are unique in my experience within my application for my customers that don't necessarily make sense to use that standard dial interaction. And so in that scenario, you want to build out your own menu, you want to do your own thing at that point. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to add a canvas into the grid. And I'm going to use that canvas to draw my custom menu item in, because we need somehow to display it, right? And canvas is actually a very good way of doing that, because a canvas is the way canvas is positioned, and you position things in canvases is absolute, and that's kind of useful because that's exactly what we want to do. And then here I'm going to start my application or my custom menu by creating an ellipse. I'm going to use an ellipse. We'll call it dial ellipse. We're just going to draw a circle around wherever the dial is to start with, and then we can start filling that in and doing things with it. So we start by creating an ellipse to draw around. So we're going to use pretty much the same kind of code here. We could change this. We could get rid of default menu items. We could go to reset to default menu items if we wanted. But we still need to have a custom menu item at the top level menu, because somehow I have to activate to know that I'm in the mode to show my elliptical custom radial menu, which is not going to be a radial controller, one that I'm going to hand off from radial controller to some degree to my menu to do something. So we still create this demo. I'm going to add it to this. I actually don't really care about rotation changed anymore at this point, so we could just comment that out. It's kind of irrelevant. What I do care about is now starting to capture where it's where the controller is being placed down on the screen. And you get these three events: screen contact started, screen contact continued, and screen contact ended. And hopefully the names are fairly obvious as to what they are, but this is the dial has gone down onto, been placed down onto the screen. And you can start then doing something with this at that point in time. And we'll just do the same for continued. And then we'll do the same for ended. And that gives us the ability to know that the dial is there or not there, and then draw something with it. And my ability to hit tab correctly is lacking today. So let's start with what should we do when the screen, the dial goes down onto the screen, is touched on the screen. Well, what we're going to do, we can actually get rid of the color mode thing. We don't care about that anymore, so it's invoked. Woohoo, great. But at the time that it goes down on the screen, we're going to say, if we don't have a dial ellipse, let's create one. And we'll add it to that dial canvas. We call it dial canvas? Main canvas. Actually, dial canvas is a better name, isn't it? So we'll add that ellipse to the canvas. But what we need to do is set up positioning for it and set it up so that it actually draws nicely. And I'm just going to kind of hack this together. There's a bit of a dial hack fest now that's going to happen, as I'm going to just pull together putting an ellipse on the screen. Make it green, so we just start with a green ellipse to show where we are. You can do some fun things with this, even at a simplistic level, by, you know, giving it a little bit of opacity, so that it feels like you're creating something that's more futuristic. You can kind of see through it, but it's not going to look amazing because it's what we're building in 10 minutes, essentially. But then we need to know where to place it, right? And this is where it starts to get a bit more interesting. So we'll place the dial ellipse, and the args that get passed in, the radial controller screen contact started event args, a lovely little short name that they've given it there, has a contact point. It has a contact position, and we can use that to determine where to place the ellipse that we're creating. And we just need to offset it because we don't want to be in the center. We want to be surrounding the dial. So we'll do the same for pretty much the same for the top as well. except obviously on the y coordinate. And away we go. So we've now placed it somewhere on the screen. And the only other thing I want to do is I want to make sure it's visible. Now I haven't changed the visibility yet, but I may do in the future. When I remove it, I probably want to make it collapsed. So in fact, I can just be a little bit cheeky here and grab that code, and just here we can go so that it just hides. When the screen contact ends, it just hides, which is pretty much what we want to have happen. We should probably just make sure we actually have this code around it to be sure. So, because obviously we don't want it to happen if there isn't actually a dial ellipse there yet. That would cause a crash, and that's not good. And then here we just want to move it around on the screen to determine, or to place it on the screen at the place that the dial is being moved to. And that's pretty much the same code that we had down here, right? So we can just grab this code here and put it there. And then we've got the ability to, as we move the dial around, so hopefully if we run this now, and we did everything that we were supposed to do and we did it right. Jump back to this screen. We should be able to place it down on the screen. We get our custom menu item. If we now pick it up and put it down, we have the starting point of being able to draw a custom menu on the screen. And then I'm going to leave it as an exercise for the reader to work out what you want to do with that. But because you can grab rotation, you could have a position to move it on, and you could do some fun things. And actually, the code for this that I showed you at the beginning, we're going to share the code for this so you can see how we're doing the rotation. It's just a little bit of math that's involved in knowing, you know, how far I'm rotated around and where to place the, well, in this case, the little white circle that you can see I'm moving around the dial, and how to place that. It's not rocket science for sure. It's basic geometry. But that brings me to going back to the slides, I think. Not that one. This one. That'll be good. Cool. So very quickly, you saw what we did there was we went and created an application. We did three different things. We added ink, which is kind of a freebie. You add an ink canvas and an ink toolbar, and you basically get dial support embedded into that canvas space. And that's nice, and that's easy to do. We added a menu item to the radial controller, and you can see everything is driven from that radial controller item. So that radial controller item is what determines what default items, what OS, what operating system level items you get into the radial control, as well as your ability to add your own menu items to it. And there is some guidance around this. Of course, you know, I said to you that don't, if you can avoid it, and you don't need to remove the operating system level stuff like the volume control, scroll, the ability to move back and forth between tracks that may be playing in the background. If you don't need to change that, then don't change it. Leave it there and then add your own menu items. I would say that if you have a lot of menu items that you're trying to put onto that top level of the dial, you probably want to think again and maybe just have a few menu items at the top level that then drill into maybe opening up another menu or editing the menu again, so you feel like you're going down a level into the next environment. And so you're kind of creating a modality as you drill into it. And then the final thing we showed you and we built very quickly was how to build a custom menu. In this case, our custom menu was a green circle, woohoo. But you can see from there, you can start doing some interesting things and you can customize what appears around the dial. And of course, it doesn't have to be a circle. You could have spokes coming out. In fact, we've seen some really interesting things that people have done. Staff pad are using the dial as a way of stamping out items and using it almost like copy-paste. So you place the dial down on an area of the music, of sheet music, and you grab some, you know, set of bars, and then you can place them again and again in different places. So, you know, often in music, you have repeating patterns repeating bars of music. You can copy and place them around. And so we showed you how to use the placement of the dial on the screen to do things that enable you to create your own menu or create your own behaviors based on where the dial is coming down on the screen. And by doing that, we're hiding the default menu as well. So that does bring me to the end of the content. There's a few things that I do want to demo, but I'm just going to show you the default slides first, just to remind you that you're supposed to go and continue your Ignite learning path, which, of course, is something that we're all doing. We're all hopefully here to learn, and there's a lot of this content online, and you can win your Spark pilot pass. Well, I think that's over now, right? Is that done? Has everyone won? I think everyone's won. Or you have to remember to collect it or something. Anyway, okay. So what I will do now is just quickly finish with going back to showing the overhead, if we can. That's not the overhead. The overhead. That's the overhead. And just kind of going through some of the apps and showing you some of the things. Now, actually, you're not going to a little bit, and that's why I leave it to the end. But one of the really nice things about this product is the way that it's just so smooth in how it moves up and down, and you really can't, you know, kind of see that. But it does feel great. And if anyone, how many people here actually work on like stand-up desks? Few of you, not many of you, but I've been recently working on one of those desks that's on hydraulics, and you can sit down and stand up, and this device is just amazing for that, because there's something very natural when you're standing up about looking at an angle down rather than looking at it like this. Of course, this is not quite the right height, but there's actually something very cool about being able to just interact with the screen at this level. Let's just get that back into view. Okay, cool. Just have a look at some of the applications that we've got here that people have already started building out that take advantage of dial. Oh, it's another wonderful piece of art. Fantastic. Come on, get to the next page. I'm on the last page. Can I create another page? There we go. So this application is Sketchable. They're taking advantage of dial. They're using it as a way of changing colors. They've got some custom menus that they've added here. And you can see they're doing some interesting things. I'm not an artist. I'm not a great artist anyway. But you can see they're doing some interesting things with the way that you're now... They're actually replaying your ink as you've drawn it over time through here. We can go and use it to zoom in and out as we're drawing. We can change colors, which is one of the things we were just looking at. So as we're drawing, we could be changing the color over time. Again, you need to kind of come and play with it, but you get this feeling of a very rich experience of the ability to start working on the activity at the same time as you're using the dial. And there's one other application I was going to show you, which is an application written by some of the team in Redmond. It's part of the PAX team, which and this is a Unity application using dial. And you can rotate the dial to take you through a timeline of the spacecraft, which is the space shuttle, doing different things. And that's just one mode. So then if I go into a different mode, if I go into rotation mode, I can use the dial to rotate. And I can use my finger at the same time. So I'm rotating with my finger while I'm rotating the object using the dial. And so there's some interesting kind of combinational activities that you can start thinking about doing. And this is a demo app that will become available in the store shortly. It might actually already be there. You can use the dial to identify different components within the space shuttle. And again, while you're doing that, you may want to rotate it with your finger, move it around, so you can see the different components. So again, it's a different kind of menu. You can see they've customized a menu here. They're doing their own thing. It's not necessarily, we're not even actually really caring too much about the pen here. It's more about touch and the dial at the same time, and that creates a different type of interface and a different type of experience for the customers engaged here. And of course, there's a demo app, but you could imagine this being used in a number of environments, whether it's a CAD-type application, design-type application, or an exploratory application where you're exploring through some spaces or through data even. And I think that's the other interesting thing to start thinking about, is that you have this ability to move this around, and as I'm rotating it, I'm actually doing something, but I'm at a distance now from the screen, right? And so does this give us another interface for me to engage with content, that's in a different space? You could think of like an operations room where you have a ton of screens up here, and I want to be able to sit at the back of the room and rotate those screens through different views or different activities. Maybe the dial is a good use for that kind of application as well. But I think there's going to be some really interesting things, and it's up to you guys, if you're going to go away and build things on this platform, to use your imagination and do that. I can imagine us being able to pivot through data sets using the dial to interact through different pivot points in data sets. So I'm hoping that over time we start to see some really interesting applications emerge in this space. So that does bring me to the end. We'll take questions, but thank you very much. Questions?
Some of the mainstream graphics developers been doing anything,
say, or whatever. Have some of the mainstream graphics developers been doing anything? Yes. Yes. There are a bunch of the maybe quicker moving, smaller companies like Sketchable, Drawboard, have already done things with dial and released applications using it, which is fantastic. Some of the bigger ISVs, bigger application developers, obviously have a cadence that's a little bit different. They don't release a new product every 2 minutes. But they are. There's definitely activity in that space. I would hope so, yeah. I mean, I think it's certainly where you position it in the market is interesting, because Microsoft has positioned it in the creative space, and it's shipping at the same time as the creators update, and it clearly is in that space. And people have said to me multiple times, well, isn't it really expensive? It's like $4,000 or something. I'm like, yeah, it is not cheap. But if you want something equivalent, you're looking at like a Wacom Cintiq, which is closer to $10,000. So the market that it's playing in is actually very good value. So if you're thinking I need to have direct interaction for my designers to work on a screen with a stylus and with touch, to do that any other way is going to start costing you closer to $10,000. So for the same price, you could maybe get two or three studios. So that it shifts the equation a little bit when you look at it from that top end of the market versus, I'm going to buy a desktop. Then, yeah, sure, you can buy a pretty decent desktop for $1,000.
What was the Wacom thing?
Wacom do a product called Cintiq, and they're not the only one, but they're probably the biggest player in the market, that is a big multi-touch screen, and it has an active digitizer. So it's the only, I would say, close to equivalent in terms of active digitizer and touch. But it's a very high-priced item. It's a beautiful product, by the way. I love it. But and it's different. It's designed specifically for a high-end of town market. Who's next? Yep.
So going along the Wacom kind of thing, Wacom screens usually have pressure sensitivity.
Yep.
Associated with them, whereas on the dial, you kind of do that and then rotate it. Will the Surface 7 kind of have a pressure sensitivity?
How many do you want? 256?
Just generally.
All right, I'll give you 256 levels of pressure.
Yeah.
Done. It's there.
Okay.
That was easy. Yeah, yeah. There is pressure sensitive. The pens do support pressure sensitivity. In fact, they have on Surface Pro 4 and Surface Studio 2, Surface Book. They support pressure sensitivity there as well.
So you can,
yeah. That's already there. That's been there for a few generations of the active stylus that Microsoft produces now. Yeah. That's a great question. Will the on-screen experience of the dial remain specifically to Surface Studio? I'm not going to answer this on behalf of Microsoft. I'm going to answer this on behalf of Neil, because right now nobody really knows the true answer to this, but the reality is it would make sense for other people to do it. And in fact, I think Dell, was it Dell or Lenovo? I think it was Dell, announced that they're doing something similar. And the underlying interface for building using their product is the same. So you build your code to support Dial, and the Dell product will work the same way. So it's already starting to happen. It won't be a Dial necessarily. It might be a Dell wheel or something, right? But it will be. We're already starting to see other manufacturers are starting to get interested in doing stuff in this space. Yes, mainly because of the resolution. So the screen resolution, and like I said, it's kind of hard to tell from just kind of seeing it, but if I go... The screen resolution in this thing is just fairly incredible. And it's, like I say, hard to tell, but if you want to come up and have a look afterwards... Just have a quick look before I have to start packing everything up. The fact that the resolution is so high, is so amazing, is so nice to work with, means that you can start engaging with this. And if you're doing like 3D modeling or any kind of graphic application, I can see this being a very useful tool for doing that. Yeah. Give me an example of when I said for free, like the Ink Canvas and Ink Toolbar. Yeah. So when I said for free, I mean you don't have to do any work for free, right? Because your time costs money too, right? So you add an Ink Canvas and Ink Toolbar, done. It's that free, right? The work you have to do to start building out your own custom menu and measuring rotation and determining what should get selected, that's going to take some effort, and it'll take some days of work, coding work, to build out. But no, there's no charge for the controls. There's no charge for the SDK. It's just built into Windows 10 now. You should just expect that if you've got Windows 10 and you've got the Windows 10 SDK and you're building a UWP app, you can start doing it. You can do it in a non-UWP, in a Win32. For example, I've seen some people build a WPF app that uses Dial as well. So you don't have to be UWP. Of course, that's where Microsoft is driving all development now. But yeah. So the default color is black, as you put it down on the screen. You can see how this one is actually set up for right-handed users. So if I put this over here. The default color of this is black, and it will, at the moment, there's no way of changing that. Will there be in the future? Maybe. But then once you get into your own application, then you can customize it. Yeah. Any other questions? No, not yet. No. No. So right now, the question is, can you have two dials on the same screen? No, not supported. Can you determine that this is one dial versus another dial? No, not supported currently. Maybe in the future it might be an interesting thing to do. Could you do it yourself? Yes, you could probably, because they are Bluetooth devices, and so they have a unique Bluetooth ID. You'd have to do a bit of behind-the-scenes magic work that's not free to do that yourself. So technically, yes, you could probably figure out which dial was which. But yeah, there's no kind of simple API built to do that right now. Yeah? Do you need to charge it? No, you don't need to charge it. But it does have batteries inside. Well, actually, I've had these for about a month now, and it's still going. So, and I should probably take them out when I ship it around the world, but I haven't been. So, they seem to last a pretty good length of time. Are you out of questions? Hard to see. I just got light. Ah, yeah. In the US, I think they're around $100. They're not available here yet. But obviously, the fact I'm giving this session would indicate that there is a market coming. So they will be available at some point in Australia, but US, $100. The studio is not here yet either, no. But yeah, again, the very fact I'm here giving a session about this would indicate that Australia is on the roadmap somewhere to release the product in the not-too-distant future. Any other questions? All good. Well, I guess it's lunchtime, right? So I won't keep you from your lunch. Go and get some food. Enjoy the rest of the event. Thank you.